Here we are in the Chicagoland area, and monarch butterflies come and go. And there was a story about a woman in, I think it was Orlem Park, who is part of like this butterfly tracking program. That woman is Debbie Kostolansky. I think that's how you say the name. First of all, Debbie, is that how I say your name, Kostolansky?
Yes, you have it correct.
Thanks for joining us. And tell me what you do with or about monarch butterflies.
Well, about 5 years ago, I have a hummingbird butterfly garden, and I noticed that there was a caterpillar on one of my milkweed, and I raised it and let it go on September 11th, 5 years ago, and I kind of got hooked on it. And then I started doing a little bit more each year, and then last year was the first year I decided to tag them. So I tagged about 27 monarchs last year, and about 2-3 weeks ago, in the middle of the night, I noticed somebody on Facebook. One of her butterflies had made it to the sanctuary in Mexico, so I decided to check the list, and lo and behold, one of the numbers seemed familiar to me, so I jumped out of bed and checked my list, and it was one of my monarchs that I released last year.
How do you tag a monarch butterfly?
They're little stickers, very, very tiny stickers. It has the website. It's called monarchwatch.org, and they're little stickers that you affix to a cell on a monarch, a specific cell, so, you know, they're not hindered flying. And then you put those on, and then you record those in their database, either sending it in on the paper or do it electronically, which I did. And then what happens is the people at the sanctuaries look for those tags, or they spot the tags. I'm not sure exactly how they found my butterfly,
right?
But they spot those tags and then record them back on that database. And that's how I found mine.
So one of those butterflies comes out of its little cocoon thing, and then you delicately grab it and say, hold on, little fella, and you fly apart its wings, and you stick on one of those little cells on the wing. You actually affix this tiny little sticker, and then you let him go, and you hope he or she, I'm not real good at this, survives and then flies thousands of miles?
Yes. So there's 4 generations. And the generation that's being released now, in fact, I have 4 today that I'm going to be releasing. The generation now are the ones that are going to Mexico. So these are the ones that I only tag. I don't tag every monarch that I have through the season. So I have 30 that I'm releasing this year. And I put the little tags on their wings. Like I said, there's a specific way of holding it so you don't injure them.
Yeah.
And you put that little tag on, like with a little toothpick, and then just press it very gently. And then you just let them go, and off they go, hoping that they make it to El Rosario, where they stay for the winter.
So that one butterfly survives that entire trip? One butterfly flies from Orlem Park to Mexico?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
And that's how many? That's 3,000 miles, right?
I think they said about, you know, I didn't track it exactly, but I was told it's over 2,000, yes.
Okay,
yes.
2,000. So then how many days does it take? Talk to me about how far or fast the butterfly goes.
Well, I'm sure along its path it has to stop to get nectar. So it, if you look at the migration, there's lots of sites to check the migration path, and you can follow it down its path. It goes from, you know, from Canada. These are the East Coast monarchs. That goes from Canada all the way down, and it'll stop along the path and get some nectar on its journey all the way down to the sanctuaries.
Well, do you know how long it was from your place to Mexico? How many days lapsed?
No, I don't have that documentation. I'm not sure when they found it, because sometimes what happens is those tags might just fall off.
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
Sometimes they find it, you know, on the forest floor. So I'm not exactly sure what the situation where they saw it or they photographed it. They do that as well.
You
know,
amazing,
they have people
though.
Down there.
Imagine that, though. Either they find the butterfly and notice the tag, or find it on the forest floor. I mean, this thing must be so incredibly small. But I also have a question about butterflies. So say they're coming from Canada, they come through Orland, why wouldn't they? And then they go on to Mexico. And then they die in Mexico, right? And then does another generation then know to repeat the trip? I mean...
So what happens is, okay, this generation goes down to Mexico, and then they hopefully make it to these sanctuaries. Sometimes, you know, bad weather climate, you know, does affect them. So if they do survive the winter there, then what they do is they breed come, like, I would say February, March in Mexico, and then they start their journey back. And then they die. So they might die in Mexico right after they breed. They might go to, like, Texas. And then a new generation starts, the first generation from Texas to maybe it goes north a couple states. I usually get maybe the second or third generations and fourth generations, and then it repeats. So the butterflies that I let go today, I don't know how they know to go back
to
Mexico.
Well, there you go. There's my question. How do they know which leg they're on, in which direction they're going?
Their instinct. I guess they have a magnificent brain that knows, and it's their instinct to go back to that resort.
Isn't that amazing?
Or that resort, that sanctuary.
No, I think a resort. Maybe if they had cocktails, a nice beach, it's all inclusive, the buffet, it's like milkweed up and down. So... that's just a lot of fun. And the last thing just is, I think a lot of us say we don't see butterflies like we used to. The population is down. And I think we would all champion what you're doing. Do you have any statistics for us or thoughts about butterflies, monarchs particularly? Are there more of them or less of them these days?
So that's why I'm really doing it, is when I was a kid, too, I saw lots of butterflies, monarchs, caterpillars, and now we just don't see them very often because of many reasons. You know, the milkweed is pretty much, you know, if the fields are, you know, mowed down,
right,
or, you know, insecticides, you know, there's a lot of that kills them. So I'm just trying to just bring back the monarchs for everybody to enjoy. And hopefully, you know, there's more and more people that will put milkweed. If they don't want to raise them, at least plant milkweed in their gardens so that they can survive.
Other
people can enjoy.
My neighbor called me over the other day, Debbie, and said, hey, look at this. And then she had all of these chrysalises. Is that what you call them? These little green little pod things? And
they're chrysalises. Chrysalises that are in there. That's the monarchs that are about to come out. Yeah.
Yeah. She was very, very excited about that. And she had the milkweed. And, you know, it was just a little part of her garden, but it was her little part to make the world better. And boy, you're doing that and then some. Debbie Kostolansky's Home Grows Monarch Butterflies. Is there, I got to go, Debbie, but would you recommend people go to a website or a place and participate in this? How can I help too?
Well, it's monarchwatch.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there's information. If you don't want to tag, you can get information about the butterflies and the tagging program. And I would say that would be a good start. There's many, many pages out there for information about monarchs and how to raise them. But that's a good start, that page, which is where I do the monitoring.
Yeah, monarchwatch.org. Okay, I'm there. Keep doing what you're doing, Debbie. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you.
On behalf of butterflies everywhere, thank you.